More than 40 million Americans live in poverty. And yet, that issue has not come up much in this year's contentious presidential election. That got WHYY reporters Aaron Moselle and Katie Culinary wondering why.
During their first debate, one word you didn't hear Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton say was poverty.
But something else did come up, income inequality. In fact, it was the first thing moderator Lester Holt asked about.
Income inequality remains significant, and nearly half of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Beginning with you, Secretary Clinton, why are you a better choice than your opponent to create the kinds of jobs that will put more money into the pockets of American workers?
Well, thank you, Lester. And
we're going to get back to what the candidates had to say about that in a minute. But first, here's what living in poverty means in America. To the federal government, it means a family of four, say a mom and three kids, living on a little over $24,000 a year. Here in Philadelphia, more than 400,000 people live below that poverty line. There's another 400,000 in the suburbs. Aaron, you recently talked to someone who lives way below that line in deep poverty.
Yeah, her name is Imani Sullivan. I met her back in July when the Democratic National Convention was in town. She was in the audience for a panel discussion hosted by a handful of anti-poverty advocates. And she got up during the Q&A and politely told the room the event was missing something big. People like her on stage. A couple weeks later, we sat on her front stoop in Nicetown in North Philly, and she told me a lot of people just don't understand what it's like to be as poor as she is, when the only money coming in is a disability check from the federal government and cash from the occasional house cleaning gig.
I only get $1,000 a month to take care of me and three kids and rent and bills. My rent is $650. I'm on a budget with the electric. So all of my money that's coming in is pretty much gone by the 10th.
She only brings in $12,000 a year?
Yeah. And Imani's been living like this for 4 years. She's had jobs before. She did customer service at a supermarket. She cleaned office buildings and radio stations. Most recently, Imani worked for the Associated Services for the Blind, where she was making closer to $17,000 a year. She was on the maintenance crew, but she lost that job when new owners came in and hired an outside company to do the work. Imani says living without a dependable paycheck has been exhausting, and it doesn't help that she suffers from bipolar disorder. But she says that's not the hardest part.
The hardest part is telling your kids, I don't have enough to get that. It's not necessarily about something that they want. It could be something that they need. Mom, I need a new pair of sneakers because this one got a hole in it. How hurtful is that you got to tell your son you had to wait at least 2 more weeks or next month because I don't have it to buy you a new pair of sneakers, but they have a hole in your shoe.
Clearly, she's not alone. So why don't we hear Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump talking about people like Imani and her family? We spoke to a guy named Dan Hopkins about that. He's a political scientist at the University of Pennsylvania, and he says the answer is pretty simple. People who are poor tend to vote less than people with higher incomes.
They're going to be focused on getting food on the table. They're going to be focused on a set of very, very personal concerns.
And Hopkins says candidates know that, so they purposefully steer away from talking about poverty, and instead they refer to income inequality, this gap between the rich or the elite and everyone else. That's because most Americans, regardless of their financial situation, think of themselves as middle class.
That becomes a powerful way to talk about poverty, but not to actually invoke the language of the poor.
Going back to the debate last week, here's what the candidates had to say about what they do to fix income inequality. Hillary Clinton said the country needs more jobs that pay.
That means jobs in infrastructure, in advanced manufacturing, in innovation and technology, clean renewable energy, and small business, because most of the new jobs will come from small business.
Donald Trump said that all has to start with bringing jobs back from overseas.
We have to stop our jobs from being stolen from us. We have to stop our companies from leaving the United States.
On the campaign trail, both candidates have offered competing ideas about raising the minimum wage and how to make childcare more affordable.
The question is, how much could any of this help people like Imani Sullivan in North Philly?
Obviously, there's no concrete, neatly packaged answer here. Poverty is complicated. But it's clear the next president could impact the lives of a whole lot of people living in Philly and the surrounding suburbs, where economic inequality can be more hidden. Remember, we're talking about roughly 800,000 people who are living below the poverty line, and there are many more families who are technically living above the poverty line but are still struggling.
So that's what we're going to explore over the next few weeks as we get closer to Election Day. You're going to hear about the trade-offs of raising the minimum wage,
the challenges of trying to make childcare affordable for millions of struggling parents,
and the future of work in a city once known as the workshop of the world. I'm Katie Culinary.
And I'm Aaron Moselle, WHYY News.